Okay, how many of you are not here last time? Uh-oh. Okay. So what I will do is I will summarize and demonstrate what we studied last week using another part of scriptures. So our approach to the study is called exegetical, Christ-centered, and homiletical study of the Bible. And then we will use Genesis as a model. But since many of you are not here last time, I will demonstrate the model using a short psalm so that you know what it means to do exegetical study, Christ-centered study, and homiletical study. But before we do that, let's all rise and come to the Lord in prayer. Our God, we thank you for your promise that when two or three of your people are gathered, you are in their midst through your Spirit. And that when your people are gathered, you have something beautiful, something purposive that will happen each time. So we are trusting that during these 3 hours of being together, you will just minister to our minds, our hearts, and even our souls and spirits, so that whatever we will learn, we can use, so that the people we are ministering to will also be blessed. Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are to us. Grant us the privilege to honor you through the word we are studying and preaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may now be seated. So exegetical study simply means we are getting out of the word what it is saying. The opposite is eisegetical, E-I-S, wherein you read into the text what you want the text to say. Here you want the text to really speak. Now, Christ-centered study is discovering Christ from the text. And homiletical study is organizing your finding so that you can make it understood and relevant to the people listening to you. So when you are doing exegetical study, you are learning what Paul, what John, what Peter is saying to their audience. So you're doing exegesis. But Paul is not here today, and his audience is not here today. It's you and your audience. So what do you do to translate your exegetical discovery and message so that it is you who will stand in behalf of Paul and John, and then you speak to the people who are living in 21st century? So that's where homiletics is very helpful. We are translating from one culture to the next culture, and we don't miss the essence of what was taught there. So let me demonstrate by using a psalm that we all know, so that we don't have to go somewhere. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. As a result, he is like a tree firmly planted along streams of water, which yields fruit in season. Leaves are always green. Here's the beautiful thing. Whatever he does prospers. The wicked are not so. They're like chaff which the wind drives away. They will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, the way of the wicked will perish. So if you are doing exegetical study, immediately you discover a contrast between two ways, the way of righteousness and the way of wickedness, or a contrast between two people, the blessed person and the opposite, one who will perish. Okay? Now, exegetical study is beautiful because when you look at the details, you can see progressions. Example, in verse 1, it says, blessed is the person who does not, what? Walk to the counsel. So if you will move that to the present area, you will say, the blessed person is described in two ways. What he desists to do and what he delights to do. Okay, what does he desist or declines to do? Three things. Number one, he does not accept the counsel, the teaching, the philosophy of the wicked. Number two, he does not align himself with the conduct of the wicked. Number three, he does not associate himself with the company of the wicked. So there is a progression of association. The first part is just listening to the counsel. The next part is you are standing with them already. And then the third part is you are one of them already. So that's exegesis. Seeing the development and the emphasis. Now, the second part is what he delights in doing. And what does he delight in doing? Meditating in the law of the Lord. And because he delights in it, he can do it day and night. The result? What are the results? Number one, he is nourished. He is firmly planted where? Along streams of water. So a tree needs sustenance. Second, barefoot in season, productive. Leaves are always green, attractive. And then whatever he does prospers. He is successful. Who would not like a blessed life like that? So now, I will move from exegesis to homiletical presentation. Because I'm not David, and the audience I'm speaking are not Israelis, but they are today's people. So my theme will be the description of a truly happy person. I will not use the word blessed. A description of a truly happy person. Okay, who are the happy people nowadays? Duterte, because he just won. Okay, Wurzbach, because he just won. And those who won the lotteries, who are getting money. So they are happy. But what I like to talk about is a truly happy person, regardless of circumstances. So who are these people? Well, we said there are two characteristics. The first one is they desist to do something. So I will have to say to the people listening to me, the first description of a truly happy person is he is desisting from ungodliness. So I will use a general word that will put together wicked, sinner, and mockers. Okay? So they don't have anything to do with ungodliness. They don't listen to their advice. They don't align with the conduct of the ungodly, and they don't associate with the company of the ungodly. And then you can insert your illustration. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. What's next? Bad company corrupts good morals. Okay? So, if you are born again, if you are even a good person, but you always listen to, you always align yourself, and you always associate yourself with ungodliness, it's just a matter of time, you will be like them. So what's the alternative? We go to the second one, what he delights in. And he delights, contrast with the first one, desisting from ungodliness, you are delighting in God. Okay, you are delighting in God. How do you delight in God? In His Word. Okay? So it's not an esoteric, mystical experience. You are delighting in God's Word. And if you delight in God's Word, what happens? In Psalm 112, 1 to 3, what does it say? Those of you who have your Bibles. Blessed is the man who... Can you read? Psalm 112, verse 1. Pastor Winston.
Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways.
Okay. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights, who walks in His ways, is Psalm 128. Who delights? Who delights? And what happens if you delight in God's ways? Whoa! Whoa! So we are presenting an alternative lifestyle, alternative value to people. And when you delight in something, you are able to do that thing again and again or the whole day. If you don't delight in anything, even your girlfriend or boyfriend, you don't want to spend a long time with that person. But if you delight in that person, kahit maghapon na kayo magkasama, pag maghihiwalay na sa gabi, anong oras tayo makita bukas? Now, where will the Christ-centeredness come in? Okay? We are contrasting two lifestyles or two ways. And then we can say to the people who are listening to us, maybe you have tried the way presented in the Scriptures and many times you get disappointed. That despite your best efforts, you are not able to delight or to abide in God and in His Word. But here is the good news. You can know the way, you can experience that way, because that way came through a person. In fact, He said, I am that way, the truth and that life. And I have come to give you life and life to its abundance. So it's a natural transition. You did not force the text. You did not force the text. So in Psalm 1, you are able to present to Jesus. And then you can even say, you know, you can add it as a support material. You know, the first sermon of Jesus in the gospel, particularly in Matthew, it begins with happy, happy, or blessed, 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 blessed. So Jesus is the source of that blessed life. Okay? So those of you who are not here last time, are you happy? You have a sample already? Okay. So now, I hope you did the homework. So I'll give you about 15 minutes. You join 3, 4, or 5 others. So 2 tables. What I like you to do is appoint a facilitator and a recorder. The recorder will report. What you will simply do is share your personal theme of the book of Genesis. And then come up with a group theme of the book. In one sentence, what is the book of Genesis all about? And Lourdes will give us Manila papers. Please write as big as you can so that when you stand here in front, you can share. And then second, after you have come up with one sentence summary of the book of Genesis, would you come up with an outline how you break that book in relation to your theme? And I suggest that your outline be as few as 3 points, maximum 10. Okay? So, please group yourselves, and in 15 minutes, I will ask representative to stand and share with all of us the result of their works.